God sees exactly what you and I are going through every day. I've always said it, and I will say it again, there is no surprise in what God sees in your life. He is through everything that you're going through. Now the question is, will you allow Him to go through the things that you're going through? Because a lot of times we can try to shut God out and say, God, I don't need you right now. I'll call on you when I need you. But listen, folks, God wants to be in the eye, and He is in the eye of the storm, but He wants to be in the middle of every circumstance, of every situation in your life. He wants to be there. And I promise you, when you surrender to His Lordship and when you surrender and say, Lord, take charge of what I'm going through right now. It doesn't matter if you're young. It doesn't matter if you're old. It doesn't matter if you've got 1 foot in the grave and 1 foot on top of the ground. Whatever it may be in your life right now, God will sustain and God will pull you through. And God will take you through some things. But listen, He's not letting you do it alone. He's not letting you do it by yourself. God, our the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit is with you every step of the way. And I thank God today that we serve a God that we can find comfort, we can find peace, we can find joy, we can find... Folks, you can't find that nowhere else. You can only find it in Jesus, because Jesus is our saving grace, and He is the one that's going to sustain us day in and day out. If you have your Bibles today, it's going to be projected on the screen today. We want to thank those for watching here. My prayer is there something I can say to you and your family to encourage you along the way as we get into God's Word today. So we're going in the Old Testament today, and we're going in the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy, the 10th chapter, beginning with the 12th verse. Deuteronomy 10 and 12. And the title of my message today is, what does God require of us? What does God require of us? And I want you to think about this, because there is some things that God requires of us. You know, we forget a lot of times that God requires something of us, but He does. And I'm going to share with you in God's Word today, what does God require of you? What does God require of me? Because there are some things that He has left us, and we know that He has left His Son, Jesus Christ, on this earth, and He's left us something that we need to understand as Christians. So let's look at this in Deuteronomy, the 10th chapter, beginning with the 12th verse. And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you? But to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all His ways, and to love Him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and to keep the commandments of the Lord and His statutes, which I commanded you today for your good. Can I hear an amen to God's Word? Listen, the Christian experience is one that is alive. A Christian experience is one that is growing. And a Christian experience is something that is beautiful. It's something that is exciting. It can be compared to a beautiful love affair that dramatically affects a life. It can be some people who fall in love with God do not know what God expects of them. And the fact is that none of us knew all of the details when we accepted Him as Lord and Savior. And with this in mind, we will look at this passage today of Scripture today, and we will look at the background of this scripture that we're reading today. To fully understand it, we need to know why this passage of scripture was given. Let's consider Moses' experience. The people had received mercy from God, and for their sins in making the golden calf. And after breaking the first set of tablets, Moses had another meeting with God. And he had received a new set and had a new opportunity for them. In view of all of that, that had happened, Moses was letting them know what God expected of them. Now, I want you to know today, God is expecting something of you. God is expecting something of me. And you may say, well, Pastor, why is he expecting something of me? Well, let me go a little bit further here. God the Father saw exactly that he needed to send his one and only Son. That would be the ultimate sacrifice for you and I. And so therefore, born of a virgin, conceived by the Holy Spirit, as Mary brought child forth, and yet he came to serve. He didn't come that we serve him, but he came to serve others. And he was born to die, and yet the ultimate sacrifice was going to be paid on Calvary's cross. And for that, our sins were going to be forgiven as we receive Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, as we repent of our sins, and that we accept Jesus Christ, then therefore we become servants and disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, we are to share the good news and share the Word of God with everyone that we come in contact with. That's why, as we see this commandment, God was saying to Israel, I need you to obey. I need you to take the commandments to heart. I need you to take the statutes and all that I'm giving you, because I want to give you everything. See, God doesn't want to hold out on you and I. He wants to give you the very best. He wants to give you everything that you need in your life, not so much of what you want. He is to be Lord of all in our lives. If he is not Lord of all, then he's not Lord at all. He wants to have a relationship with you on a daily basis. So God requires these things. There are four simple requirements in this scripture as we look through this passage that are appropriate for every believer to remember. This is what God requires of you and I. The first thing is to fear the Lord your God. That is what God is requiring of you. Not to be scared of God, but the fear is to be reverent of God, to know that God is in charge, that God is in control, that it's not within your own intellect, it's not your own wisdom, it's not your own doings, but it is Jesus Christ that lives in your life. When you accept Jesus Christ into your heart and life, then guess what? You become a believer in Jesus. You have been changed. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become brand new. You are now a new creation. So with that, you're to acknowledge your Lord and Savior and have the fear of the Lord, in that you reverence the Lord and to know that God is in control. We live in a world that is out of control, but God is a God that's in control, a God that knows exactly what you and I are going through, what we're faced with today, what we're faced with tomorrow. But when we put on the fear of the Lord and know that God is a sovereign God and that he's in control, then there's nothing for you and I to worry about. There's nothing for us to look to the left nor to the right, but we can look to the cross and know that God will sustain you day in and day out. Give God praise in the house today. Hallelujah. I am reassured. I am affirmed to know that God is with us every step of the way. When the Bible says in Deuteronomy 10 and 12, and now Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you? And that is to fear the Lord, to walk in all His ways, to love Him, to walk in His ways. Listen, when we come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, we're to walk with God. We're to talk with God. We're to communicate with God. There was there at the beginning, hallelujah, before the fall of man, Adam and Eve, they walked with God. They talked with God. In the cools of the day, they could see and know His presence. That's the same way it is when we accept Jesus Christ into our hearts and lives. We're to walk with God, talk with God, to know that He is with us every step of the way. I remember when my son was little, he has grown now, but I remember praying with him every night before he went to bed when he was little, and he would always struggle with knowing about God. And he says, "Well, Dad, I know you pray to God, but I don't see Him." And says, "How do I know that He's real? Because I don't see Him. You got to see something." And I'd say, "Son, He's in your heart." I said, "That's where you see God, is you see God in your heart." And so Nicholas had a hard time trying to figure out about God because he couldn't physically see God. And so God is with us, folks. Even though we may not see Him physically, He's in our hearts. We've accepted Him by faith, and we believe that He is God. We cannot help but adore His majesty, to stand in awe of His power and dread His wrath. But in this passage, we can see that something else is expected of us. Fear, as it is used here, does not mean the same as to run and hide. It means to have a holy reverence and a deep respect for God. Devout Israelites had a deep respect for God. He had chosen and kept them. And those of us who love God will have a wholesome respect for Him. It is critical that we have a holy reverence and show that by the way we live. This is just the beginning of a healthy relationship. We soon move on to the second challenge. My second point today is to walk in His ways, not walk in your ways, not walk in your own understanding, not to walk in your own what knowledge, your own wisdom, your intellect. It's not for you to walk that way. It is for you to walk in the ways of the Lord. Now, education is nothing wrong. Having doctorate degrees and PhDs and all of that, there's nothing wrong. But we've been forgetting who God is, and that He is a God, a sovereign God, a God that reigns and rules, and a God that wants to have a personal relationship with you and I today. You see, God began to speak to Israel through Moses and through the Ten Commandments. Though Moses, God gave the children of Israel a simple commandments. Human nature demands clear guidance. Human nature demands clear guidelines as well. And to illustrate, we must have traffic and speed laws to keep us safe on our highways. If God had not given the Ten Commandments to us, we would have not had no distinct direction for our lives. We would be going here and there and everywhere. We would not have direction. But God has come not to do away with the commandments, but He has come that He would fulfill the commandments. He would fulfill the law. In other words, when Jesus came, He was to write it in our hearts. Everybody can go through the mechanical ways of worshiping God. They can go through the mechanical ways of, yes, you do this, no, you don't do that, and the whole nine yards. And it all becomes not personal. But what comes personal in our personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ is when He writes it on our hearts, when He writes it in our minds, and when He writes it by sending His Son, so that we're not going going through all the motions, but we're having a personal relationship with Him by allowing the Holy Spirit to have His way in our lives. Knowing humanity as He does. God has given us what we need, not only to please Him, but also to enjoy a good world. In 1 John 5:3, we are sensitized to the fact that God's commands are not a burden. They're not a burden. 1 John 5:3, for this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, that His commandments are not burdensome. John wrote that loving God had keeping His commandments are inseparable. What is so difficult about loving God, honoring His name, worshiping Him? What is so difficult about being honest, being peaceful, being considerate of others, and so forth? Walking in His ways is not a problem. It is a beautiful way in which we live, and walking in His ways. Now, I want you to know that the devil does not want you to walk in God's ways. The enemy is out there to try to kill, steal, and to destroy. The flesh and the spirit wrestle against each other every day, and that is until you give your last breath on this world. The spirit and the flesh will always wrestle. The enemy is wrestling for your soul just as Jesus Christ is going for your soul as well. And listen, there's decisions that you and I have to make. I've said it and I will say it again. You have a conscious and you have a subconscious. Your conscious is in the day and what you think and what you do. The subconscious is when you go to sleep and when things happen in your mind that you have no control of. But I want you to know the devil does not sleep, nor does he slumber. He is 24 hours, 7 days a week, 365 days out of the year. He is out to kill, to steal, and to destroy upon your life. And the Bible says that if he can, he will even try to deceive the very elect, those that have been called by God. The enemy has no respect of person. So we need to understand that we must walk in God's ways, not the enemy's ways. That we not be lured, that we not be detained, but that we truly walk in His ways. And you may say, Pastor, how do you walk in His ways? Is that you begin to acknowledge who He is and what He is to do for you and I, and to know that He is in charge. He's in full control of your heart and in your life. The Apostle Paul says, am I going to be a man pleaser or am I going to be a God pleaser? He says, I'm going to be a God pleaser. I'm not going to be a man pleaser. I'm going to trust the Lord. And that's exactly what you and I are to do every day. Let man be what they are. Let them do what they want to do. Say what they want to say. Go where they want to go. Be what they want to be. Trust in the living God and walk in His ways. Now, walking in His ways doesn't mean it's going to be pleasant. It doesn't mean that you're going to be on cloud nine all the time. You're not. There's going to be some valleys that you and I are going to go through. There's going to be some temptations that's going to go through. There's going to be some tests. Christ brings tests. Satan brings temptation. Don't get that mixed up. God brings tests. Satan brings temptations. God cannot tempt you because He is a God to not be tempted of. And I want you to know today, we must understand who our adversary is. We must understand his devices and what he tries to do in our hearts and lives. That's why we are to walk in his ways, not our ways. Walking in his ways. My third point today is this: love him. Love God. Love God. God is love. If you don't love God and love others, you can't be one of Christ and His disciples. You can't be one of His servants. You've got to have love, because God is love. God is love. It doesn't matter who's done you wrong. It doesn't matter who has stabbed you in the back. It doesn't matter what somebody has done for you. You're still to love them. But God says, vengeance are mine. They're not yours. It's not for you to hit somebody else or stab somebody else in the back. It's for you to leave them alone and give them to God and pray over them and say, God, I'm doing what you ask me to do, and you take the rest. And that's exactly what God wants us to do, is to do, to walk in His ways, to love Him, to fear the Lord. And this, guess what? When we do the things that God has ask us to do, that's when God becomes God in your life and He takes care of the rest. I don't know about you, but I want to lay my head on the pillow at night and know that God has taken care of the rest. To know that when I lay my head on the pillow at night, that I've done all I know to do, and that's when I can rest and give it to God, and God will take care of it. Every time He takes care of it. Why? Because we have a faithful God. A lot of times we may not be faithful, but God is faithful. He's in the eye of your storm. He knows what you and I are going through. He knows what you're going to face tomorrow. I don't know what you're going to face. You don't know what you're going to face, but I do know that God knows what tomorrow is, and I know who holds tomorrow, and I know who holds my hand. It's the Lord Jesus Christ, and He's the one that's going to sustain us step by step of every day. The Bible clearly lets us know that we must love the Lord. We must fear Him as a great and sovereign God, but love Him as a good God and our benefactor. God knew that to physically observe the commandments could be dull, it could be legalistic, it could be meaningless experience. Therefore, He added the reason we do all that we do in love. That we're not serving the Lord to be mechanical robots. You're not a mechanical robot. You're human. You have feelings. I've said, and I will say it again, if you cut me with a knife, I'll bleed. If you talk about me, it may hurt my feelings, but I'll get over it. But I'm human, just like you. And I go through things just like you. Because we all deal with different things in life. And we are at different places in our life. Some may say, Lord, I never dreamed I'd ever be here. Lord, I never dreamed that I would ever feel like this. Lord, I never dreamed that I'd have to go through something like this. I never dreamed it, Lord, but here I am. But guess what? God was already there. He was just waiting for you to catch up. God is already there in your circumstance. God is already there in your situation. He's already there. He's just waiting for you to catch up to where He's at. Listen. Therefore, He added the reason we do all that we do because of love. If we take love out of any dimension of our lives, life becomes oppressive. Hear me again today. If we take love out of any dimension of our lives, if we take love out of the equation, life becomes oppressive. I don't know about you, but I don't know how people get around in life without not knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. Especially with those that are dealing with a loved one that is dying. One that's already done dead and gone on. There are different times in lives that we feel certain different things, and I don't know what I would have done without the Lord. The Lord is your comfort. The Lord is the one that will comfort you and sustain you. The Bible says to yoke up with the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, my yoke is easy. Come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden and heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. I don't know about you, but I want to have some rest. I don't know about you, but I want to have some peace. Some of you not feeling the peace today. Some of you not feeling rest. Some of you are feeling restless. Well, I want you to know, God is not surprised with what's going on in your life, but He is a God of peace. He's a God of understanding. He is a God that will sustain you and take care of you every step of the way. Fourth. My fourth point today in my closing. Not only walk in His ways, not only love Him, Fear the Lord your God, walk in His ways, love Him, and fourth is to serve Him. Serve Him. Boy, what a wonderful servant that my sister was to this local church. I miss her more and more every day. She played on this piano right here and was my music director for about 15 years. And she just passed away last October. Boy, what a void that I'm feeling today. But I would not want to have her back for any amount of monies in the world, because she's crossed over on the other side. She has worked for the Lord and she has truly been a servant. With my sister, as I give an example of her, she served the Lord. She came to know the Lord Jesus Christ when she was about 3 or 4 years old and has served the Lord all these years until at the age of 68 she went home to be with the Lord. But she served her Lord. She served her church. Never once asked for fame or glory. Always stayed behind the scenes to make your pastor look good and to make the music the best that she could possibly make for this local church. But I want you to know her reward has now been given. She's crossed over on the other side. And folks, God wants us to continue to serve. He wants us to serve the Lord. And He wants us not to just serve the Lord, but He wants us to serve others. To serve others. What do you mean, Pastor, by serving others? Sharing the good news. Sharing with people and letting them know the love of God. Let them know that the peace that passeth all understanding does not fail. God does not fail. God will never fail. Why? Because He's an unfailing God. He loves us and He is love. Listen, Deuteronomy 10 and 12. And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you? But to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all His ways, to love Him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Your heart and your soul. Your soul never dies, folks. Your soul never dies. Your soul will continue to live on. Listen. Through Moses, God gave the children of Israel simple commandments. Human nature demands clear guidelines and clearly lets us know that we are the God that we serve and that He is the God that will take care of us every step of the way. There is a difference between the commandments and serving Him. Keeping the commandments can be legalistic. And it can be a factual approach to God. Service, the language of love, goes beyond the letter of the law. In other words, there are innumerable ways to serve God. Find something you do not have to do and do it for the glory of God. Let me read that again. There are innumerable ways to serve God. Finding something you do not have to do and do it for the glory of God. Don't let somebody come and tell you what to do in doing this and that and the other for the glory of God. Allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you. Allow the Holy Spirit. That's where your relationship is with the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, if you see something, say something. If you see something, do something. In John 21 and 15, Jesus challenges Peter to exhibit His love. I want you to see this passage here. I'm coming into my closing here. I want you to see this passage here. What Jesus challenges Peter to exhibit His love. Look at John 21 and 15. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, feed my lambs. He said to him again a second time, Jesus, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, tend to my sheep. He said to him the third time, Jesus, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you, Jesus. And Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Most assuredly, I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wished. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish. And this he spoke, signifying by what death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, follow me. I want you to know today, in other words, Jesus says, while you're young, while you're able, while that you can put one foot before the other, continue to do my work. Serve me. This is what Jesus is saying. Peter, serve me. And Jesus not only said it one time, he didn't say it two times, but he said it three times, Peter, I need you to do the work that I've asked you to do. See, this is a guy that denied Christ three times, and Jesus knew it. This was the guy that said, I don't know Jesus, when the woman called him out. See, this was the guy that was a smelly fisherman. This is the guy that didn't have all the education. This is the guy that Jesus sought after, and Jesus put his love in Peter, and he loved him, and he not only loved him, he wanted Peter to serve him. And that's the way the Lord Jesus Christ is wanting in us. He loves us. He has put his life out there on the cross for us, and he wants us to serve him and follow me. God is simply asking us to love him. He's asking us to trust him. He's asking us to walk with him. And he's asking us to serve him. The question today I want to leave with you, will you follow these simple requirements that God has for your life? Will you follow this? Will you walk in his ways? Will you love him? Will you serve him? Will you fear him? See, these are things that Jesus is looking to you today. These are things that Jesus is looking to me today. He's asking me that for me to follow him. He's asking me to serve him. He's asking me to love him. He's asking me to fear him. He's asking me, never forget who loves you first. Never forget the grace and the mercy that he has extended unto you and I today. He loved you. He knew you before you were formed and born in your mother's womb. He knew you would be right here at this time and moment in your life. For such a time as this, God knew all. Stand with me across the building today. Listen, God does not want none of us to perish, but he wants us to have everlasting life. This is a life that we are living. This is a life that you are living. But we're not living here forever. You're not going to live here forever. I'm not going to live here forever. The Bible says for us to number our days. Your days are numbered. My days are numbered. Do you know that God is already at your funeral? He's just waiting for you to catch up to where you're at. Because God knows everyone of when you're going to die and how you're going to die and the way you're going to be buried and the way that you'll be sent off from this world. God's already there. He's just waiting for us to catch up. So while He's waiting for us to catch up, it is for us to do all that we know to do in this life. Because this life is just temporal. Because we're just like pilgrims, as Peter says, we're just passing through. You're just passing through. This is not your home. Your home is eternal. And it's a home that's being prepared for you and I. He is preparing a place for you and I. Every head bowed and every eye closed, I want to pray today. Dear Heavenly Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, I thank You, Lord, for Your Word, Lord. I thank You, Lord, that You have instructed and have given us the requirements that we're needing, that we are to fear You, that we are to love You with all our heart, mind, and soul.